fixed in omniscience. The example of the two birds in a tree, which is given in many Vedic literatures, demonstrates the statement Nityo Nityanam. There are two categories of eternal living entities, namely the Supreme Lord and the minute Jiva soul. The conditioned Jiva soul, forgetting his identity as an eternal servant of the Lord, tries to enjoy the fruits of his own activities and thus comes under the spell of ignorance. This bondage of ignorance has existed since time immemorial and can be rectified only by one sticking to the loving devotional service of the Lord, which is full of spiritual knowledge. In the conditioned life, the living entity is forced by the laws of nature to engage in pious and impious fruitive activities, but the liberated position of every living entity is to offer the fruits of his work to the Lord, the Supreme Enjoyer. It should be understood that even when the living entity is in a liberated condition, his knowledge is never equal to in quantity to that of the personality of Godhead. Even though Lord Brahma, the supreme living entity within this universe, acquires only partial knowledge of the personality of Godhead and his potencies. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.5, the Lord explains his superior knowledge to Arjun. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tava charjuna tani aham veda sarvani natvam vetha parantapa. The Blessed Lord said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. The term baddha or bound is also understood to refer to the living entity's eternal dependence upon the Lord, either in the conditioned or liberated state. In the kingdom of Maya, the living entity is bound to the cruel laws of birth and death, whereas in the spiritual sky, the living entity is fixed in a bond of love to the Lord. Liberation means freedom from the miseries of life, but never freedom from one's loving relationship with Lord Krishna, which is the essence of one's eternal existence. According to Srila Madhavacharya, the Lord is the only eternally free living entity, and all other living entities are eternally dependent and bound to the Lord, either through blissful loving service or the bondage of Maya. The conditioned soul should give up tasting the bitter fruits of the tree of material existence and turn to his dearmost friend, Lord Krishna, who is sitting within his heart. There is no pleasure equal to or greater than the pleasure of pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. And by tasting the fruit of love of Krishna, the liberated living entity enters the ocean of happiness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. It's a beautiful and powerful purport on an elaborate explanation of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad analogy of two birds sitting on the tree. So there's like a expanded understanding of what these two birds represent. Madhvacharya is like that, like this. That is Madhvacharya's trademark sign. Avashyabal Parampara Acharya. There are only two realities in this world, the Lord and the living entities. Right? There is only two things, the Vishnu Tattva and the Jiva Tattva. So in this way, these are the two personalities residing on the same tree of the creation. And how, even though they are same-looking birds, and yet their activities are so different. The one bird is very busy, very busy. He has no time. What is he busy with? He is busy going from one branch to another, tasting the various fruits of this tree. Some fruits, of course, being bitter, which are born out of impious activities, and some fruits are very sweet, like mango or chiku, whatever it is, right? They're born out of pious activities. And that keeps their search for the right fruit and their ongoing pleasure from the right fruit keeps the bird very busy in going from branch to branch, branch to branch, branch to branch, branch to branch, tasting a variety of unlimited fruits. This tree is not having limited fruits, it is having unlimited fruits. Right? Therefore, it is eternally baddha soul, because eternally he can go on just going tasting fruit after another. The tree never becomes empty of fruits. So I have tasted all of them now. No fruits remaining. The tree is an eternal tree which goes on, ananta, goes on. Right? The other bird is very composed, is completely silent, apparently completely inactive. It is simply upadrishta, anumanta. It is just observing. Drishta means to see. Anumanta, allowing. It is a completely non-interfering activity of the Lord. The Lord almost never, ever interferes with the activities of the bird. Only rarely we find Krishna may interfere in a rare case. When it involves a superlatively extraordinary soul who attracts his deep attention, and then the Lord may actually intervene in his in his activities. By and large, almost to the point of negligible, the Lord almost never interferes with the activities of the jiva soul. Right? What is he doing there? The Lord has only one activity. While he's observing and allowing, he's simply doing one thing. What is he doing? Waiting. He's simply doing one thing. He's waiting. He's not waiting, but he's intensely and eagerly desiring in his wait that when will this completely enamored bird, who simply engrossed in the phantasmagoria of treating one bird, foot of another, when will he actually realize there's nothing there? There's really nothing there. I am not going to get any deep satisfaction. I am not going to get any deep fulfillment ever in this endless cycle of tasting one foot and the other. My real interest of life, Nate Vidu, Swartha Gatim, He Vishnu. When will I know that my Swartha is in this bird? Sorry, this bird. He's here. my real swartha is here. Therefore, we always like to say about how Pandurang waits for all of us. Today is Ashadi Ekadashi. Last week, the Vari started from Dehu Alandi and now they're walking. We saw you were in that part of the city. So we saw hordes of people and trucks going, so many people walking with Tulsi on their head, and old people, thin bodied, nobody obese. Nobody was obese there, like city people, all overeaten fat people we have in cities. But all these Varkaris, nobody was obese, all thin, lanky, thin legs, but strong legs, walking from Dehu Alandi till they will reach it on Ashadi day, they will reach. After all, so many days, I don't know how many days, but many days they will reach there by foot. No cars, no buses, no trains, walking. Why? In reciprocation to the Lord's wait. If the Lord is waiting for us like this, as Panduranga, then I must go and see Him. So in reciprocating with the Lord's desire, who is waiting for His children to come and see Him, thousands will go. Sometimes even barefoot, with cracked legs and sores and boils and fractures and dehydration, loose motion, giddiness, sometimes even seizures, heat strokes, hunger, thirst, all the vagaries of material energy hitting them like rains and everything happening which can happen, all that happens on the way. But dauntless, they keep on moving towards the all-attractive Krishna. That is devotion. Example of beautiful devotion in our own country, very close to us here. So that is why this, it is said this, we are eternally baddha. Now how do we really go about a scientific process whereby we can actually extricate ourselves, disentangle ourselves from this endless cycle? When we were singing this nice song the other day at Brahmotsavam day, such a beautiful festival all of us had, everyone was feeling so happy, everyone was feeling so enlivened, everyone was smiling, the whole family of Radha Gopinath was here. It was just a festive occasion. People had come from outside the city also. They were saying, we never had a festival like this in our life. It was just so happy. And of course, for all of us who are inmates here, it's something which we all look forward to every year as a great event with our Lord and Master, Radha Gopinath. One of the stanzas in that line, in the second part or the third part, says, Jivana Marana Mala. Jivana Marana Mala. I don't know the front and back, but that sort of hit me when I was singing that. That when anybody comes to this world, when any boy, child is born, it is great merriment in one sense. Oh, the child is born, boy or girl, doesn't matter. The Lord has gifted the parents with a nice child. But then, invisible to anyone, that child is wearing a garland. He's wearing a garland which none of us see, but it is there. The garland has two types of flowers. Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, Jivana Marana Mala. A mala, a garland, is around your neck. Two types of flowers. Jivana Marana. Now you are born, my dear child, crying. Maybe a newborn child. Sometimes he is, premature born. He's on a ventilator or in a box. There's that. Septicemia. So that may be the same, but nonetheless, everyone who is born will carry this garland. Jivana Marana Mala, two flowers. That garland is never lost till he, of course, becomes Nitya Mukta. Therefore, is called as eternally Baddha. That mala is always around his neck. Jivana Marana, Jivana Marana, Jivana Marana. The garland is always wearing around his neck, which gives him birth and then again kills him. Gives him birth and again kills him. Such a powerful garland. The scientific process of Krishna consciousness is here to make us understand how to get out of this apparently useless wandering. it talks about using our senses. It starts with that Prabhupada says that the process is purification. And purification begins with the senses. And it is the senses which are the root cause of the problem. Prabala Indriya Vashibhuta Mana is one of the lines there. Prabala Indriya Vashibhuta Mana. So the Prabala Indriya, the strong Indriyas, they have captured Vashibhuta, captured the mind. Right? So the mind becomes a slave, a helpless slave in the hands of the reckless senses. Right? It is so bewildering as we go deeper into Kali Yuga. With every passing day, the absolute fascination of material energy is manifest in front of us. Right? How many fascinating things are happening? You sit in a train also, and they will give some advertisement on the train also. Netflix, this, that. Something. Right? The variety of things which the senses can get involved with is absolutely fascinating. And a question comes to a sadhaka's mind sometimes. I was told in philosophy classes that Krishna has got unlimited variegatedness. The material energy is very static. Krishna is ecstatic. Where is that? I see material energy full of variegatedness. And I say Krishna is very static. The same Kaliya. The same Makhan Chori, the same Rasa Leela. I mean, for 5,000 years, the same story is going on. Nothing, no new additions. You don't have additions to this. You don't expand. Same stories. Bhagavatam, same Bhagavatam is there 5,000 years. And look at material energy. My goodness, it is always able to give me something new. Once I get bored of pager, I get a mobile, I get a better mobile, then I get S1, then I get S2, then I get S3, X5, X9, then X10, X108, I don't know where. Oh, what fascinating things are happening. Wow. This is really exciting. I want that one, I want this, I want to that. My mind senses, I cannot have enough of all this energy. Want more. It is spiritual. Really. Spiritual means variegatedness. Yes, it's there. Spiritual is expanding, then that's there. It appears very fascinating, even to a sincere practitioner of Krishna consciousness, who has reasonable faith in the bhakti process, even he can get damn bewildered. Even a few years of bhakti process is no guarantee, is no assurance, is no endorsement that we will not get fascinated by the world of material energy, because it is so beautifully portrayed. It is so made so attractive. And the senses, which are the root of the problem, as I said, want to see something attractive. Prabala Indriya, very powerful Indriya. They want to see something. With this thought process, when you go to temples of the Lord, many of the Hindu temples, we see a tortoise there. We all see this tortoise, right? With the hands outside and the legs outside, neck outside, widely drawn. And sometimes people don't know. Tortoise, is it Kurma Avatar? He said, no, not Kurma Avatar. Why should Kurma Avatar there be in some Devi temple or this and that? Why? Ganpati temple. What is Kurma Avatar doing on the floor there? Right? So it is not Kurma Avatar. It is a strong reminder to every sadhaka who comes to any Hindu temple or Vaishnava temple, Krishna temple, wherever we go, wherever we see them, right? That the senses, when you come to the temple of the Lord, must be fully exposed. Expose your eyes, expose your ears, expose your tongue. Expose all your indriya, your karmendriya and jnanendriyas, and engage them fully in absorbing the energy, the sights, the sounds and the feel of a temple. And when you go out, the same process is told, that same limbs are to be withdrawn inside, because they are very powerful. And you expose them outside, they're bound to get tempted by things outside. So we're supposed to expose the senses here and unexpose the senses there. But we do the opposite sometimes. Right? Nothing fascinates your ear anymore. But when you look at the temple, why are temples made beautiful? Why are dresses of the Lord made beautiful? Why does the tailoring department or the deity department spend so much of time, money and energy in designing newer and newer and newer varieties of dresses? This is Bandhani style and this is Rajasthani style. I'm not connected to that. But Manipuri style or something. And then to the morning when you are at the altar, Church Chandra Prabhu came and put another dress as a trial dress. Oh, this, what is this dress? This is a dress for Radhashtami. Oh, for Radhashtami. Something special. I will not tell you what it is, but it's very special. You have to, your ancestors have to be eager to see that. It's a very beautiful dress upcoming. It's in a half-complete state now. But it's something very special is coming. Very special dress. And the best marble is put on the floor. The gold is put. Gold leaves are put on the Aldi altar. It should shine, glitter. The acharyas try to make Krishna more and more beautiful. Krishna, of course, is. But the acharyas know how to make him appear to gross eyes like ourselves, who are so damn fascinated by the outside world, even to our dull senses. Yeah, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. So it moves gold and best people, Italian people came here to make this nice spiritual sky. The best interior decorator of Italy, Marco Farini, came here to do this. Matsya Avatar Prabhu. The best woods are put here. And we have the best painters making this. So when you come to the temple, you're supposed to see all this, feel all this, absorb all this. Right? Rather than allowing ourselves to go astray, looking at what the world is offering. Very dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing. When we meditate on a beautiful word of Krishna, Krishna's got many, many names, but one very special name of Krishna is Govinda. The word Govinda is so special in this connection of the thought process we are talking about right now. Govinda means the enliver of the senses. Go means senses. Go means cow and land as well. But go means senses. That means within Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is such a fascinating beauty that can completely enliven the senses. Far more, infinitely more than what materiality can ever offer. That is Krishna. If this appears so attractive to us, and yet acharyas warn us. Now these are some of the intriguing things which we have. As we go into Krishna consciousness and we practice bhakti for a few years, some things start intriguing us. Some things we don't understand. And one of the things which we don't understand, which is intriguing and mystical part of Krishna consciousness, is what is it in Krishna when the acharyas say, don't look at him standing at Keshi Ghat. If you see him there, your material desires will be finished. Material life will be finished. What is so attractive in that boy that if I see him, I will lose all attraction for this material world? That means the senses will be so mesmerized by Krishna. When Krishna stands as Giridhari, acharyas describe. Krishna consciousness is a feast actually for the senses, far more than the material world can offer, ever. People go for tourism to Switzerland and Alps and this and that, museums, various, to see, so many things, right? Lakes and rose gardens and this garden and botanical garden, this garden, zoos, just to see things. But actually Krishna is a reservoir of all beauty. when Krishna is standing under the Govardhan hill, it describes Acharya Sev. How does he look at under the Govardhan hill? Like a beautiful monsoon cloud. Beautiful monsoon cloud. And he has this peacock feather. Looks like a rainbow. You know, peacock feather, when you look at the peacock feather, it looks like a beautiful rainbow. And then you have his dhoti. Krishna wears no pants, no jeans. He wears dhoti. He wears a dhoti, right? He wears a dhoti which is pitambar, yellow colored. Glistening. Nothing like this glistens in the world. No cloth can glisten the way Krishna's dhoti glistens. Glistening. It looks like what? Like lightning. Has anyone seen a dress which glistens like lightning? Ever? We have not seen any dress, any fabric of this world which glistens like lightning. But Krishna's fabric of what dhoti is made up of glistens like lightning. So you have a cloud, and from that dashing of lightning of his dhoti and beautiful rainbow of his and then is adorned with a beautiful smile. The smile. The smile which is like a row of pearls. His teeth are like a row of pearls. Well set. No dentist can do that. Right? Perfect dentition. Perfect dentition. That is Krishna's beauty. And it's intriguing that what must be that beauty which the acharyas talk about, which made, when you think about this, the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about great devotees. Primarily Bhagavatam talks about kings more than anybody else. If you see Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit, Maharaj Ambarish, Maharaj Parashini Barisha, the Bhishma Dev, all these great kings, it's all about kings. Listen, what about me? I'm not a king, I'm just a common man in this world. How does this showings apply to me? There's a reason why the kings are being talked about. It's a very important reason why every story has a practically a king. Is it not? Uddhava is being talked about here. He's a king, practically a king, living with Krishna in Dwarka. If people who are on the caliber of the kings of the world, Maharaj Nimi, Maharaj Parikshit, they were ruling the world. They were not kings of Baroda, kings of Raigad, no, kings of, you know, Karoli. There are kings like that, right? Small king of Baroda. You know, till 100 years, there were kings of Baroda. Baroda. What is Baroda? And they were very wealthy people. What kind of wealth they had? Look at the palaces. Fascinating. What is the wealth of the person who is the king of the world? And Yudhishthira Maharaj was, you know, betting with Duryodhana. They were not betting for some Naulakahar, right? The rarest of our rarest pearls from the ocean, which called 9 lakhs of whatever 9 lakhs currency was at the time of Yudhishthira Maharaj. What is 9 lakhs at that time? Today, billions of rupees, one in one har, in one necklace was that costly. He said, okay, no lakha. So they were betting things which were unimaginable by us. He was the king of the world. Right? But even the kings of the world who had an amount of exposure to wealth which a rich man cannot even dream today. No capitalist of the world, in India and abroad, can ever dream what even an ordinary king had in those times. What talk of king? Even Zamindars had so much. We talk of Govardhan Muzumdar and Hiranand Muzumdar. They had so much wealth. But even those great kings, with all that they had, with the senses can enjoy, still, they are always fascinated by the beauty of the devotional service to Krishna. Even that could not bind Parikshit or Ambarish or Nimi. Some of them were kings. Manu was a king of the entire universe, practically. Not from the planet of Earth. But yet, they had. So therefore, this philosophy, which you must say very seriously, is this philosophy of Paramdrishtva. Paramdrishtva. Krishna consciousness, we must believe Prabhupada. We must believe the Acharyas. We must believe our scriptures that Krishna consciousness is the higher taste. But the material energy wants us to believe that material energy is the higher taste. Better foods, better clothing, better tourism, better things to enjoy, the senses, that's the higher taste. But we don't believe that. We don't believe in that. Crap. False promise. Maya. Right? Therefore we sing every day, every regularly we sing the song. Nityan Prabhu. Asratyera satya kori mani. Right? That is our problem. The only problem we have in this world is only one. Asatyera satya kori mani. Right? What is not satya, but appears like satya, appears like real, because it is so fascinating, made so real. Material energy is so expert making it appear so mesmerizing, enticing, almost seductive. Right? We get fascinated by that. But when we pray to Nityananda Prabhu, then Tahara, what is that? Nittai Charana Satya. What is Satya? Devotional service to Nityananda, Gauranga, Radha Krishna is Satya. Tahara Sevaka Nitya. Right? And therefore we must believe that a person like Dhruva, who had exposure of living as a prince in the house of Uttanapad, was the emperor of the world, when he sees Prishnigarbha, he said, this is like broken pieces of glass. And he was looking for something which is way beyond what Brahma has. But his realization was so clear. He is so clear in his communication, Guru Maharaj, that my dear Lord, after seeing you, I was aspiring for getting the kingdom beyond Brahma's kingdom. But even that, what to talk of the fascinating array of mesmerizing things the world in the earth planet has to offer. As we go higher, it is far more enticing. Indra Nagari, Nandanakanan Gardens, far more enticing than any garden of this world. And that's why Indra is so attached to it, because he just is so completely addicted to that sense gratification which this Swargaloka has to offer. As you go higher and higher, even more mesmerizing things are there. But nothing compares to Prabhupada says, Chinta Mani Prakara Sadmashu Kalpa Vriksha. Nothing compares to that land. The spiritual world is not drab, not dry, not featureless. It is full of variegatedness. If this variegatedness is offered by material energy, by Maya, we can imagine what Krishna has to offer to us. How much more variety he has to offer to us. Right? Something fantastic. Right? But it is intrinsically variegatedness. That is the point. It's not that Krishna is showing different forms to make us. You know, Krishna is Krishna. You know, sometimes 200 forms, 600 forms, 800 forms, keeps on changing his forms to make us. Krishna is intrinsically variegatedness. So when it is the same story, it is the same pastime, it is intrinsically. And not instantly, it's constitutionally something which is giving the heart non-stop pleasure. Non-stop pleasure. Because it's intrinsically designed to be like that. And material energy, however fascinating it is intrinsically designed to decay, to corrode, to go down, and then something else. And then something else. But for Krishna's devotee, it is never something else. It is only Krishna. It's only Krishna. It's never something else. But in Krishna, everything is included. That's the whole point. When you think of Krishna, you think of only Krishna. What about other things? But Krishna is everything included. Krishna is Purnam Idam. Purnam is Purna. So all beauty included, all variety included, all fascination included. All pleasure included. Everything included in Krishna. That is Krishna. That is God. Right? That means when everything is in Him, I don't have to look outside of Him. But everything which I want, my senses want, my mind wants, my soul wants, my heart wants, everything which I want is only in one person, and that is Krishna. And therefore it starts by engaging first our senses in Krishna's service. Govinda activates our spiritual senses, starts activating. Right? If we are in the mood of Rath Yatra right now, we sing this nice song a few minutes back, and our hearts are transported to that grand road, where after 2 days the Lord will ride in his chariot. How beautiful are those chariots! It's not a bland white cloth. It's fascinating. Red, green, yellow, and black. Four colors are there. Right? All these nice festoons are there. It describes earlier in CC that they're all bells were there. Balloons are there. Bells are there. Horses of different colors are there. Black horses, white horses are there. The chariot is fully adorned with variety of colors. Why? To fascinate the senses. The senses have to get activated in Krishna's service. Right? So we need to engage fully our senses in that realm of Krishna. And that is the only way, when we experience that higher taste, we can disengage from the phantasmagoria of what the world of technology has to offer, the world, the material energy has to offer. We can only disengage then. Therefore, we are all waiting for that day, that very special day in our life, when Krishna will give us that genuine higher taste. We're waiting for that day when we can sing with this, with confidence, Name Ramyam, Mani Kam. I do not want all these rubies and maniki, I don't want. When we can say with a lot of confidence, I don't want na dhanam na janam, we can sing it all that. We can say with confidence, yes, I don't want these things. Now I sing it because we are supposed to say it, we have some intellectual understanding of saying it. But we have scarce realization. Most of us are still on the path where we want to realize the deeper truths of what Krishna consciousness has to offer to us. But it has got everything to offer that the soul is looking for. And we don't need anything outside of Krishna to make us happy. That's what the last line of this purport said so nicely. There is, and I'll repeat that, I mean, end the class with this. There is no pleasure, and you must believe these words of the Holy Scriptures, however difficult, however unrealistic they appear. There is no pleasure equal to or greater than the pleasure of pure devotional service to Krishna. I'm tasting the fruit of the love of Krishna, the liberated soul enters the ocean of happiness. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.